From a competition to a pleasure hunt and all the stops in between, we cover it all here at Coon Hunting Media.
Dakota Lot Company, owned by Hoop and Tater Franklin, located in Telico Plains, Tennessee, with the newest addition to their lineup, the Dakota Express. This lot features the industry-leading True Dual Battery Pack cap light. Switching from battery 1 to battery 2 is a simple flip of a switch. Contact Dakota Lots for their complete light selection. All of their lots are known for dependability and extreme battery life. Their direct business number is 423-261-2551. Dakota Lots, great lots, and even greater customer service.
Hey, hey, it's Stacy T. We're back here with the Coon Hunting Media Podcast Company here. Jason's going to bring us in with the word today.
Hello, everybody. Johnny's telling me to do it today, so we just looked up a quick verse. We're going to read Galatians 6 and 10. I'm just going to say this is one to uses words to how to live by and how we need to treat our friends. And don't be poking me over there, Stacy. Friends and people we're around and acquaintances are just a good way to live. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So that's how we need to treat others. Just do good. That's what we're going to leave that one at. So what we're going to get into and talk about tonight. Been on a few more trips.
I was on a nice trip that week.
Yeah, you were on a nice trip.
It was nice.
So let's talk coon hunting trips first, and then we'll talk about Stacy's midlife crisis here in just a minute.
I don't have a midlife crisis.
So
Stacy's life is the midlife crisis.
Well, I was sitting at the beach with my feet in the sand, enjoying it.
So let's just jump right into the midlife crisis. What did you buy while you was at the beach with your toes in the sand?
A good steak.
And that's not what I'm talking about.
Well, he texted me starting out and said, hey, you want to pick something up for me? I was thinking, well, Stacy's bought another dog. I was up in Illinois. Guess he sent me a picture.
He was an hour and a half from it.
Yeah, well, you sent me a picture of a sports car. I'm like, ain't no way, Stacy. Stacy's bought this.
So Stacy has bought a Challenger.
Lime green.
So, yeah, that's why I say midlife crisis.
He's 505 horsepower.
I will say that thing was a lot meaner than I expected. So me and Hudson,
what's it got in it?
We were over there the other day, and I called Stacy and I said, I'm gonna take it out and try it. So me and Hudson and my dad, so his pa, Hudson's in the back seat, Pa's sitting over, and now Pa had race cars all the time when he was young too. So we and it's a 6-speed. So we
manual.
Yeah, manual 6-speed. So it's old school the way it feels.
It's a 392 Hemi.
We pulled out on the highway, and I just kind of finding the gears on it, and I was like, this thing is way better than I thought it was going to be. We got out to the straight to the county line, and I had it in second gear, and I stomped that thing. Pa started grabbing every handle on it. He was, slow it down. Hudson's back there in the back seat. What's wrong with you, Pa? He said, you don't even go that fast.
0-60 and under 5.
It's bone stock, and I think it is bone stock, right?
Well, I would have picked it up.
You should have went and got it. It would have been a fun trip back.
It's got 505 horsepower
maybe
on a dyno machine.
In prison right now.
And the only thing been done to it is the cats. It worked out. That's it.
I was really not expecting that, though. And the thing I liked about it, I guess if I was going to buy me a car now, I'd go for something like that one because it still drives as good as my newer truck.
21 miles a gallon.
That's going to be his daily driver. He's going to be commuting in that car.
I pull my excavator with it.
Well, what was it you said you figured out how to do? What was it you can take off and?
Oh, it's got a float shift. So it's called a skip shift. If I rev it up, first gear take off first, give it a little gas, it'll float from first to fourth automatically.
But what was you talking about doing on the to make the sound that you could beat out of the to make it sound like a header?
Caddy converters.
And there's a way that you can just go in there.
I can clean the caddy converters out.
Take the caddy converters out.
Leave them on. He's done sent me videos, and I was like, what in the world? He said, that's all they do. You just got to take it off and
clean them out and put a set of headers on it, and I get in there about a 30 horsepower.
But it sounds like a car from the. Well, that one had a cam, though.
I'm going to put a cam in it.
So this thing, it's not going to be no daily driver.
It is. It ain't going to hurt enough.
I told him I'm going to put a trans brake in it, bring it to the drag strip.
It's pretty, though.
We'll take it to Autumn Oaks. That'll be what we
do. We ain't going to hot rod it.
You got all that rip riding that thing and cruising in Autumn Oaks.
I'll put the black and tan in it.
You probably won't even own that black and tan by Autumn Oaks. You're probably even sold.
You going to buy them yourself?
So,
the car is for sale. I priced it today.
Did you really?
Yes, I priced it today.
He's already priced it, yeah.
I'm going to sell it. If I can make enough off of it.
Stacy's house, too. Just the right price.
If I can make enough, I keep selling them, buying them, I'll buy more free.
I'll there you go. Start a dealership out of your yard.
I'm $10,000 in this car less than what it books for right now.
You could easily make a 5K on it.
So back to the it's midlife crisis.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Yeah,
midlife, definitely. Whatever. It's still fun.
Yeah. It is fun.
Midlife.
I would.
I thought he was joking when he sent me that picture. I was like, guy, he's joking around.
He paid a buddy here local.
I drove up the hill and there's it.
It's in the driveway.
Well, yeah, I had a boy here local, drove up to Illinois and put on rollback and brought it home. It's been sitting here all week. I told him I drove it. I didn't take it out, but the one time. I couldn't get that to drive it. So anyway, let's see where we've been last. Where's the last trip?
Some hounds.
Where's the last trip we've been? Last time we talked, you guys had just got back from English days. You boys just went to Redbone days. What about that one?
Hot. It was hot.
Miserable.
It was the hottest. I've hunted a lot every night of the week. That was the hottest I've ever turned a dog loose in my life.
It wasn't just hot and temperature was like 82 when we cut the dog loose at nighttime, but it had about a 90% humidity. I didn't have a dry thread on me, no work.
82 degrees at 11 o'clock at night.
So at this kind of temperature, what do you do condition your dog for that?
You better hope they're like Schwarzenegger bringing them into it, because we've seen dogs in our cache just lay down and quit.
What do you do with the trees? You doing that in trees, keep them cooled off?
Use alcohol wipes.
Alcohol wipes.
A lot of people don't ever think about that.
On their feet or where at?
Kind of an underhidden trick, but I always carry alcohol wipes, and I got the supersized wipes, and I just wipe the whole dog down. I really like putting it on the inside of his ears, because dogs, heat comes out of their ears, and under their bellies, under their necks, around their heart, under their front armpits. I've seen a world of difference going on.
Keep it away from the nose.
Yeah, I don't put it.
We won't get down this rabbit hole of talking about this, because we were off there talking about some things that I've always done that studies are saying aren't the right thing to do. I used to always carry body armor and stuff like that, but there's actually some studies out there that saying those types of drinks are not good for the dogs.
We've always used Gatorade and stuff, but I was saying this week that I ain't gonna say who was doing the studies, but they were saying that I'm gonna look more into it. They say Gatorade is not a good option for hounds keeping them hydrated. I'm going to look up and really dive
into the
reasons why that ain't. But they did say they do not recommend using Gatorade.
Because there was an old man that showed me that trick years ago, and he carried a big syringe with him, and he was giving that. And I was like, what are you giving? And he told me what he was doing. So I've done it forever since then. I mean, because I've always got
to. I ain't seen no side effects, but there may be stuff that we don't think about it. Maybe
one thing that I liked about the Gatorade, though, like one of our dogs would chew bad in the summertime, it made a difference. I heard chewing.
I noticed that.
It made a big difference.
I would always carry my, they call them drenching guns. It's what we use on the cattle and stuff, put wormers and stuff on. I had a big 100cc one with a metal tip on it, and I would just always, draw a couple of those up at the tree, and the dogs got used to it. They knew you was going to give it to them when you got there.
Yeah, and a big thing, a lot of people was wondering about the alcohol, is if you ever, wiped alcohol on your skin, it evaporates nearly immediately, and when that breeze comes across it, it's like an air conditioner.
Yeah, it'll dry it out, and so alcohol wipes are a good thing. I guess Johnny was the one telling us about that. I wipe him
down every tree, walk him through a cornfield. I'll just pull one out, wipe him down.
Mm-hmm.
Before I put him in the truck, I'll wipe him down because that breeze comes through the box. I've seen a world difference in it.
There's a vet assistant in Ohio told us about that.
Man, that's a good trick.
A little over a year ago.
And you can put it on the bottom of their feet, too, if you...
Mm-hmm, on their pads?
If you had a plenty of time and stuff like that. But
you could easily wipe one down on the back and on its head and stuff.
Oh, it's easy for a quick and roll.
Mm-hmm.
By the time I pull him off that tree and put a leash on him, he's been wiped down.
Don't get them mixed up with your baby wipes while you're out in the woods.
Well, they some people use Pedialyte also instead of Gatorade. They do use Pedialyte.
But Pedialyte may be better than the Gatorades and stuff. That may be what we should check into that, start using some of that place of it.
They make stuff just for dogs also. That's a way. It's got beef flavor, chicken flavor. You put it in the water. For that, it's electrolyte powder you put in the water for beef and chicken you can buy on the internet.
I do know a lot of people use that bounce back that you can buy at Tractor Supply to kind of help with hydration in hot weather. But to be honest with you, I wouldn't even recommend cutting a dog loose in 82 degrees.
No.
Well, with 90% humidity.
That's the way it's been here. Just too hot.
That's like where we're at here. The dog is snake bit with the rattlesnakes we have here. They're dead. It's hard to keep them alive, positive.
I mean, Johnny and I was out in the front yard before we did this, hitting softballs with my youngest one. I don't know about Johnny, but I walked back in the house to change clothes. I was sweating. I mean, it's just muggy hot.
It is. And up there, I'm telling you, it was bad.
I mean, it was the hottest I've ever hunted in my life. And you got down in the woods and that undergrowth, you couldn't breathe. I couldn't imagine what them dogs was going through.
Yeah. Briar thickets and cane thickets.
You can't go by Jason sweating, though. He sits at a desk all day.
I work every evening. I'm outside. Desk.
No. Shots fired.
Go put a chainsaw in your hand all day, though.
I work. I'll sweat, but I work all day. I don't worry about it.
I don't. I put a husband in a chainsaw at the excavator. I got air conditioning running.
If it shows you how hot it was, though,
it's miserable.
We didn't even see a rabbit, didn't see a possum, didn't see a deer. Didn't see a house cat. Didn't even see a mouse. I think it was too hot for redworms to be out, too. We didn't see no life. And we treed one. He treed one. That's it. The only thing we seen. I think by that time, two dogs were done quit. They just come back.
They come back to
cash and just lay down.
Done.
So hot.
Would not leave.
But
it wasn't just our cast. We talked to several people that was there, and their dogs just...
Some nice dogs, too. I mean, dogs that have won a lot of casts and a lot of money, and they just quit.
So it's hard on dogs.
Yeah, when you get in this kind of heat, it is. Here, we just always put it up. I don't even fool with it when it's this hot.
And it's 2-hour cast to boot.
Yeah, we just go fishing when it's like this. It's kind of
been a lot better if it had been an hour and a half.
But now that hunt in general, we're just looking at a few things. So you still ended up with a cast win up there. But you boys came away with a high-scoring blue tick male again at this hunt. So it's been a pretty good run this year. Quite a few wins. We were just talking about it so far. I mean, the ones I know of. So you've got high-scoring blue dog at Redbone Days. You got it at English Days. You got high-scoring blue dog at the Grand American this year. And then you got high-scoring blue tick male at the BBCHA Spring Hunt. So we had a pretty good year so far.
Yeah.
You want to take a little bit of a break right now because of the heat, but sitting up too far away.
No, I guess what we got? We got a Watts Bar Classic, they call it down here.
Mm-hmm.
Whole week of 105 open events, and then after that,
that's going to be pretty good.
We got the Michigan Madness first week of August. We'll be up at it.
So that'll be a little better because you're going to have, you're going to be moving up a little bit farther north.
Is it the first full week of August? I think it's like 8th and 9th or.
You got me the best, but I ain't got a dog to hunt right now.
I know it.
Gotta think bread.
Sorry. That's just the way it is right now.
Circle of life, Stacey.
That's why you buy a male dog.
Can't raise no puppies with them male dogs.
No. Well, you actually raise a lot of puppies.
You gotta raise puppies with a male dog.
Is that what it was? Second week in August?
It's one of them.
He's getting close. It won't be long, but as far as just overall the hunts, this year's been pretty good, which I was telling you boys that we need to talk about that just a little bit because you kind of been working on this year just building a resume because I know a lot of people have been wanting to get some females bred to rip. So this is kind of his year. You're having to push all these hunts to get that resume built up. So maybe after the world this year, is that when some people can start using them, you think?
Yeah, we'll probably start after the UKC world.
Select females, ones that I've in years past, the people say, well, what's the dog do? What's the male dog do? That's fine. I agree with that. What's a female do also? Mm-hmm. We ain't going to breed just something to be breeding. I mean, she's going to be a coon dog, preferably a titled coon dog.
Especially for the first little while.
I agree with that. Totally.
He's still young.
Let's talk right now. We got a bunch of puppies coming, but I'm satisfied with every female that these puppies are coming out of. They're good. They're top females. And that's why I like the females.
They wouldn't be eating our feed here. We wouldn't be breeding them if they wasn't.
No.
Yeah, I wouldn't be hunting.
They're good females.
And when you put them over good males, like I said, if you're picky with these females that are coming in, there's going to be some good pups come out of that.
I mean, you look through the pedigree, they're just stacked with reproducers on top of reproducers on top and bottom, mom and dad, all the way back.
That's a big
proven
thing.
Reproducers.
You know, like Rip. Rip's got the drive. He got big drive, big motor, very accurate. He's going to throw what you look for in a dog. He's got that there. If your females are lacking anything, he's going to cover that for you.
Should. In theory.
Should, yes.
In most occasions, should.
Well, I mean, if you're covering some mediocre females, you're still probably going to get some decent dogs out of that.
Yeah.
But if you are hand selecting them and getting some good females, you're just bumping the odds up. So it's really going to make the chances of those.
I mean, if you look all the way back through Rip's pedigree, on his top and bottom side, they're all full. It's a full pedigree of hard going dogs.
Yep.
And that is,
they are.
That is bred and reproduced hard going dogs. Because you look at his top side, Crash is out of Bocephus. Well, Bocephus, you got Big Country. Big Country was a hard going dog. I mean, a hard going dog. So that whole line of dogs is just hard going.
And accuracy.
They're all accurate.
Every one.
But that's all about building that pedigree up as far as good dogs. So using these good females will be a big help. So, but for those people that have wanted to get some females backed up and bred to Rip, it's getting closer. It's I know Johnny's been the one that's always telling me, nope, we're going to wait a while, but it's getting closer. You boys are closer to the point that...
Yeah, we're getting close.
So, like right now, which I was...
But now, it'll be when we do it, it's not going to be a full gung-ho bore all the time deal. It's going to be after the world hunt to December, January, and it's going to shut off because we're going to get back ready for the PKC, world hunt and stuff like that. And then you'll have a couple months there where we won't be.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be hit and miss, you know what I mean? It's not.
But a little bit of an open window is better than none.
Yeah, I agree. I mean,
we're still going to be trying to run these hunts with him, too.
We still got some things we want to do with him. And that one, I want him to mind on treeing coons, not on chasing ladies.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you run into that. I mean, I don't know. We don't know yet. But
And, I mean, even through the off-season where we ain't got him up for public, there will be some
straws you can sell off of him.
For sale, also.
Yeah.
To the select females.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah. But like I said, now it'll be, like I said, to January or something like that, and then it'll be shut off, and then until after April, and then for the TLC, because we got.
Yeah,
maybe our luck will be a little bit better this year on the TLC than it was last year. We,
that was sickening.
We figured we had it in the bag, and no, we did not. But we'll see how it goes this year.
I won't think about that.
He likes one win to be in the Grand Night 2 now.
I was wondering about that. I knew you had to be real close to having that second.
Yeah, he likes one.
I knew he was real close to that.
And should, I mean, after this Watts Bar Classic and the Michigan Madness, he should be over 1,000 in PKC by the end of them two hunts.
Yeah, because you're...
Because he only likes, what? Is it $50 from 500?
Yeah, 50 or 60 from being a PKC champion.
From being a PKC champion.
And we hadn't hunted him, in the PKC hunt in three months, probably.
Yeah.
And me and Johnny the other day was adding that up, and that dog wants some money. Between everything, he's done good. He's paid for himself.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's made 4,000 probably in sanctioned hunts and unsanctioned hunts.
And small stuff, nothing big.
Yeah. We hope to make some big stuff here for a long time.
Well, you ain't pushed him into that thing. Well,
I've been telling John that go that way.
My Biffo screams no, no, no.
We're looking for a sponsor.
Jason.
Yep.
Jason Thompson.
Anybody that wants to spend some money, we'll happily sign up for the bigger ones.
Can we sign your business up on it?
No. That's yours.
It could be a tax write-off.
Might not want to say that too loud.
But now, as far as I know, we mentioned it last time. But as far as pups go, we got three litters coming. So if there's anybody wanting some very well bred pups, we've got some good crosses coming.
Yep. Riff will be on the ground 2 weeks.
Yeah, because I was
from when we're recording this. So by the time this is released, they'll probably
be born. Yeah, it's because I know with Flo, she was at that point of I thought she was bred. I wasn't able to tell you for fact yet, but now she's to that point, and I'm trying to decide how many she's going to have because she'd be on that point of guesstimating if she's having pups. I couldn't tell you how many she's going to have, but just knowing how she did last time, she may have quite a few. There may be a pile of puppies coming on that one. Now, Punch is not hardly far enough for me to tell yet. She's not hardly at that midway point. She's getting real close to it, though.
And you took her and bred her over to Brandon Gilley.
She was took over and bred to Brandon's. And then we got the Rufus feet. That's going to be a good cross. I'm excited about that.
I like Grit.
It is. I said, well, we watched him at BBOA days. He got deep, got by himself, and had a coon when we got there.
And he was, as far as looks too. I mean, I like the male dog to look good. Rip's a pretty dog. Rip's made well. He's the type of dog that checks all the boxes for it. Grit did too. Grit was put mm-hmm. together like a athlete. I really liked the way he looked.
And that those pups give us something to cross back with on the pups that we're raising also. I mean, we just kind of interchange here and there.
Mm-hmm. And then we got the other female that's out of the other kind of breeding. She's out of Rufus. And then over a Spike female. And then she's covered up right now. I've not talked to the guy that's got her. Cody Evans has her to his house. And she's bred to Mark Vandeveer's male dog. So that's I won't say the wrong name again.
Leroy.
I know it's Leroy. That litter will be – those will be about 3 weeks behind the flow litter, but we got a lot of good bred puppies coming. But speaking of the trip over,
and I do have the DNA profile on Rip for PKC, so they will be able to super states. I do have the DNA kit for UKC that I put the swab in his mouth tomorrow. I meant to bring it tonight so you could mail it, but I forgot it. I was going to put the swab in his mouth, collect it, and send it off. So he will be a performance sire also on those pups.
Yeah, and I'm going to – that one aggravates me a little bit. Think about that. Why the two registries don't just interchange those DNA profiles? You've already
– they used to.
Well, I remember back in the day, I know PKC would take and honor UKC's, but I don't know if UKC ever would take – PKC's, would they?
No, when we done Hoss's DNA years ago, we done a UKC swab kit.
And they took it.
And PKC took his DNA swab kit.
It's just the fact, it's just frustrating that you, it's not bad, but it's frustrating that you got to do that multiple times, been done for years, and had to do another one.
It's a money business. 55, 60 bucks every time you swab one's male.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Now, speaking of breeding these females, Johnny's uncle pulled one on me the other day. I pulled one right back on him. So we... we were trying to figure out, I was going to have to make a trip over to South Carolina and pick up Punch, which was fine. That was the plan all along. And then we were just talking there one day, and Johnny's like, Chuck's over there. My uncle's over there right now. I said, well, I'll pay Chuck to bring that doll back. I said, I'll pay his gas back over here if he wants it. Just, I'll have her picked up within 15 minutes of where he's at. And he called Chuck, and he said, Jason, give you $100. Bring her back with you. You're coming home anyway. And he said, I'll do it. I'll make that money off Jason. And so a few days.
It's hard to come by.
few more days went by, and Brandon called me, and he had come up with this boy over there that had this little female out of Kyle Klein's Moondog, and he sent me the pedigree, and I was like, I don't need another dog, man. I don't need another dog. Get me that dog. I want that dog as a puppy. So, I mean, she's bred just like I like them. So I told Johnny, I said.
She's out of a boomer.
She's directly out of Moon. And she's directly out of her mom is a boomer daughter, granite female. And I was like, yeah, I've got to have that puppy. So I worked that deal out, and I got it. And I said, well, tell Chuck he's bringing two dogs home. So he got to the house, and we're shooting the bull. You got to know Chuck. He's funny anyways. And he's giving me the stuff out of there, and I reached there and I handed him $100. He said, hold up, son. He said, that's $100 a dog. You owe me another $100. I said, I guess you just got a dog. Put her back in your box. Well, no. I just told Johnny I was going to mess with you. I said, "Well, I load her up, take her with you."
He wouldn't oppose if you would have hit him another $100 bill.
No, he took it.
I told him when he said, "I'm going to hit him up for $200." I said, "He'll probably tell you take that home with you, and then your girlfriend or your girlfriend will tell you will have you shot and that on the porch." And he said, "You're probably right." I said, "Or he could tell you that's just your tough luck and send it on with you." He said, "No, no." I said, "Yeah, he's liable to do that."
I'd have paid him if I'd had to, but he was coming home either way. I just paid for all of his gas, but I hadn't seen him in a while. It was funny. But so yeah, I've got another dog. I've got too many dogs. I got more dogs than I've got kennel space for right now. Now she is a puppy though, so that part's okay.
Yeah,
I'll shift gears into another story. So this is another thing. So we wanted to mess with her the other night. So me and Hudson's out here, and I done all my feeding, and then we got done working her. And it's about 11 o'clock, I guess, at that point. We ain't done no hunting because it's been so hot. And it's a little bit cooler that night. He goes, "I think I'm going to go hunting. I'm going to take Joker and go." We're talking about that drive that some of these dogs have got. Joker's got plenty of drive. He's our young dog. And I like him. I think he's got a lot of potential. So Hudson left here probably about 11 o'clock. No, it was later than that. It might have been closer to 12 o'clock when he left the house. Now, coon season's opened here. But I don't care if it's open or not. I'm to the point, we're not going hunting without a pistol. I'm putting a pistol on my side. Somebody's carrying a gun with them on their side.
Rattlesnake Central.
I ain't worried about the rattlesnakes as much as the other stuff that wants to eat you out around here, it seems like. So
cannibals.
Yeah, and I don't worry too much anymore. I just kind of go about my business and get ready for bed. So I'm in here finally getting kind of ready for bed, and Hudson called me. He goes, "You ain't going to believe what just happened to me." I said, "What's happened to you?" He said, "Joker got in there and he hit a track," and he said he hunted better than I've ever seen him hunt, run a sign red hunt, and he said blew the top out of it. And he said, I was walking into him, he got real close to him, he says almost to the point about to flip my red light on and start shining the tree, and he said he's in a thicket. He said, "I took one more step and I heard pigs start grunting and carrying on." He said, "I took one more step and there he was face to face with one." He said, "It's a big monster sow," and he said that thing slung around and hit him, slung him into a tree, and he said the next thing it did was come straight at me wide open. So he just reached around and jerked his pistol off of his side. He said if he had a rifle, he wouldn't have done nothing with it. He said because it was on top of him. He said you couldn't move around or hardly get out of it. And he said as it stepped by him, he just kind of shot right in his side. Watched the flames hit its side when it rolled by him. And he said Joker let out right behind him. So that happened. And I was like, "You all right?" I said, "It scare you?" He goes, "No, I tell you, hunting hogs with dogs would be fun." I was like, "Well, not in the middle." He said, "Well, not by yourself, but back here in the middle of in the woods." He said, "I'm a mile and a half from the truck." I said, "Well, now I can't go to bed. You're going to have to make sure you call me when you get back to the truck.
You're going to have a kennel full of plot dogs and curs before you know it."
That's what we'll end up with next. But, yeah, walked right in on that thing. It tried to eat him out in the middle of the woods.
I got your plot dog. It's pup. Half plot, half walker.
But now coon hunting around here can get exciting. You don't ever know what's going to happen. I mean,
yeah. You can go skydiving.
I don't want to walk in on a, yeah, you skydiving.
You know, it's the same place that happened twice in there.
I know. It happened to us right up from there when we were kids. But I don't want to walk in on some 250, 300-pound sow in the middle of the woods at 1 o'clock in the morning by myself.
So it makes for a fidgety night.
Well, he was less worried than I was. I wanted to go to bed, and I just couldn't hardly do it at that point. So, but anyways, that's what happened this past weekend. That's the only time we've even had a dog in the woods in the past month. It's been so hot here. And I told him just fish a while. We'll wait a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been too hot.
Too hot to fish, as that old song says. It's too hot for golf. Too hot to fish.
Coon Hunting Media is proudly sponsored by Little T Squatters. Them are the words every competition hunter loves to hear. Your winning coon has just been found. Little T Squatters, owned and designed by Tim Tempton, has set the bar for high quality, dependable, and unmatched performance. From pleasure hunters to extreme competitors,
He covers it all with his five elite models. Original Little T, the Triple Threat, the Double Shot, the Pro Series, and the newly designed Bell Ringer. If you want to enter the woods with confidence, contact his office at 423-562-5333 and become elite.
In addition to our official sponsors, we would also like to thank the following sponsors. Secret City Kennels. The kennel is owned by Mr. Mark Gettner and Mr. Wendell Jones. At Secret City Kennels, they support the English Coonhound breed. They have English Coonhounds for sale from time to time. Contact Mark or Wendell for all your English needs. They are available for your English Coonhound advice and are happy to answer your questions. These guys have done their fair share of winning in the comp events, including wins at the PKC Labor Day Classic, fifth place overall in the UKC World Hunt, ninth place in the AKC World Hunt, English Days, Winter Classics, and the list goes on and on. Mark is the current PKC English Coonhound President. Give either of these guys a call. They will be glad to talk with you. Their numbers are Mark at 931-787-2784 or Wendell at 865-748-7795. They are located in Kingston, Tennessee and Coalfield, Tennessee.
Saddle Up Canine Cryo is owned by Mr. Bill Scheninger. Bill is located in Delta, Ohio. Don't miss out on the opportunity to keep that special stud dog forever. His services include semen collection, freezing, side-by-side shipping, and semen storage. Bill is also the owner of one of the best-known plot kennels in the country, Saddle Up Plots. Saddle Up Plots is home to UKC, PKC, AKC, WTDA, Grand Knight Champion, PR Saddle Up Lazarus. Lazarus accomplished the following accolades in 2021. He was UKC World Champ Plot, Plot Days Isaiah Kid Winner, Purina Breed Winner, Autumn Oaks Breed Champion, APA Breed Days Winner. Fresh chilled and frozen semen is available. Contact Bill directly for all pricing and services information for Canine Cryo and Saddle Up Plots. Bill's phone number is 419-467-7689. Saddle Up Plots, making plots rise again.
Outlaw Light Company, owned by Alan Roberts, located in 10 Mile, Tennessee, 25 years of light building experience, with the newest addition to their lineup, the Ace Pro. They are constantly striving for the best parts. The Ace Pro has better switches and batteries, and it has the option of double walk light and two additional color modules, main beam and a green laser, or a single walk light with three color modules, main beam and a green laser. All their lights are known for dependability and extreme brightness. Contact Outlaw Lights for their complete light selection. Their direct business number is 423-453-8813. The Ace Pro, the light with a lifetime warranty.
Briar Creek Kennels, feed and hunting supply store, owned by Chris Girth, located in Hemera, Indiana. Briar Creek carries all your pet supplies and is the headquarters for all your hunting dog gear. Never get caught in the dark. They carry Outlaw Lights, Superior Lights, and their own Briar Creek Light brand. They are an authorized Garmin and Dogtra dealer. They offer hunting apparel by Yoder Nylon, Southside Hunting Gear, Dan's, Razor, and their own Briar Creek branded gear. Dog boxes include Old Dry Pond and Diamond Deluxe, AGM thermals, engraved nameplates, dog collars, and leads are just a few of the many other offerings you can get from Briar Creek. Visit the store in person or shop online at www.shopbriarcreek.com or check them out at the major events. Their direct business number is 812-383-9489. Briar Creek Kennels Feed and Hunting Supply Store.
We're going to switch gears and talk about some merchandise and stuff we're going to have at Autumn Oaks and go from there.
Very lovely. Talk about business.
I'm looking forward to that now.
Yeah, I like Autumn Oaks. I look forward to seeing
Stacy will be there to try on any products that we have for sale. He is a portable model.
I'm your fat man model.
He can show that the 2XLs and 3XLs are actually XLs.
They call them dad bods now.
Hey, I put a small on them. That might mean nothing. I wear them all.
Stacy will be there in the booth with a smaller shirt on. You'll see him. He'll look like a crop top.
It is hard to believe, though. It's almost Autumn Oaks time.
I know. It seemed like last year.
It is.
Well, it was last year, but it seemed like it was.
So we've got to get our act together. We've got to get our booth rented. But so the plan right now, that's the next event.
Yep.
We'll be set up there.
Big event.
Should have some hats there.
Yeah, so look.
Tell us what. Todd Hudson's been working hard on these, building these. They look great.
We're professionals now.
They look good.
So tell us, what all is your plan? What all are we going to try to have at Autumn Oaks for people that want stuff?
We'll have little T-squallers. We'll have some hats. We're going to get into some shirts, hopefully some hoodies. We have our sponsors' lights will be there, too. We'll have them out. Outlaw lights and Dakota lights. So we'll have them on our booth for sale as well. So
I'm going to hit Dakota and Outlaw and try to get a few used lights to put up there.
That's
affordable for some of the newer guy that wants to try one.
Be good. You can't think of anything else? Shirts, hoodies. We'll get Stacy to make some joggers. Make some pants.
I'll do pictures for people.
We can have underwear that has Stacy T on it.
Probably got that.
But no, that's one of the things that
skid marks are included.
That's right.
So yeah, so I'm sitting here looking at the brand new hat press. So you boys have been pressing hats. There's a couple dozen sitting over there. So you could start selling hats now. You know, you've posted it out there already, and some people's been interested in some. But plan on having that there. That'll be a fun time to just get together and meet
Stacy's
a lot of people
doing
again.
Face paints.
You don't want me painting.
He's going to braid hair. He got a hair braiding booth set up. So that's right. Coming up soon. So we'll try to do that.
We'll have a booth and get some few podcasts recorded over there. Come by and chit chat, hang out.
It's like playing. I like
tell some Johnny stories.
I like Autumn Oaks. It's a lot of fun.
He may not be there.
Johnny will be there. He may be in disguise.
You ride me, Johnny.
He's driving me. No, he won't be driving me.
One of them big fluffy.
He can't drive you, Kyle.
I'll be up there.
You moving away from us.
Well, let's talk about that for just a minute. What's going on here?
I'm making the migration.
I know it.
I'm sick of these mountains.
Whatever. You're going to miss these mountains.
No, I won't. Not when it comes nightfall.
Yeah, but you're going to miss these pretty mountains, though. That sunrise.
There is nothing pretty about a mountain whenever it's 1 o'clock in the morning. You're half a mile up that thing.
So what's going on here? What we got happening now?
I'm moving.
Kyle's moving. Really moving. We've talked about it before. We've kind of put this off forever, but now he's doing it. He's leaving. When are you leaving?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow. So it's.
Which by the time this would air,
you'll be there.
I'd already be there.
Yeah, because we're recording on the 7th, and you're leaving Monday morning.
Yep.
So officially. Taking
I was
up residence.
Telling everybody I was moving. Nobody believed me.
But it's happening. So
if you call me, I'll be in Illinois.
I'm sending my dog with him.
Everybody hears I'm going to Coons. Everybody's wanting the dog sent.
You will hunt my dog.
Well, I can't hunt everybody's at one time.
That's true. I'm gonna keep.
Well, leave yours
here
for
a couple weeks.
Yeah. Move up there, and I don't even get to hunt my dog.
Yeah, forget your dog. Hunt our dogs.
So, yep, Kyle's leaving us. That's
pay my rent, you can. Pay my rent, I'll hunt your dog.
I don't know if I'll hunt your dog next week or whenever. What is that?
He's trying to think of something.
When did Johnny done asked him to help him hunt them big hunts.
Hey, yeah.
Yeah, I try.
Now you're right. A hired handler.
Hired handler, that's right. You hunt my dog, hunt your dog, see? Fire truck.
Johnny will give you the check.
Johnny's the money man. So, but yeah, for those of
so I'm moving.
Those listeners we got, we're losing Kyle. He's moving off on us. So we'll be trying to figure out how to we've been able to do it. It's worked. So we should be able to do.
I'll be running back and forth though, back to Tennessee.
We'll have to drop hounds, dogs picking out hounds, and take dogs back.
But yeah, that's the reason.
Leave dogs down here,
and that is the whole reason why I am moving though, is for coon hunting.
Yep.
There is no other reason why I'm moving. If it wasn't for that, I'd stay here.
You'll miss me.
Miss you.
We'll have to migrate up there and hunt on that better hunting.
Yeah, we will. It's actually not that far. How many hours does it take to get there?
From here, you can make it in 5.5.
5.5 hours.
With no traffic.
I did 3.
That's why I bought the car.
Just to go back and forth from my house. I can come
see you.
Hey, you can come stay for free. You can stay at my house.
Thanks.
But yeah, I'll be up there.
He got a cot for you in the garage.
Yep.
Hey, I got my own cot. We're talking about.
Be up there in flat ground.
Be nice.
Biggest hill you'll find, the speed bump at Walmart.
I mean, those guys up there, that if they've never hunted there, they don't know the difference in it. It's not the same world.
We hunted with one at Blue Tick Days a couple years ago in Mount Gillett, Ohio, and that's flat.
Mm-hmm.
And he was complaining. He said, I wouldn't hunt this for nothing. I was like, man, what are you talking about?
Sometimes we got to get helicopters to get us up ours.
Yeah.
He was from north Indiana.
But
and
you know, we
talking about how flat it was and like a football field and such as that. But
we can talk like about these mountains all we want until you come experience them. Because we hunt both ends of it. And you can go 30 miles down the road. It's a lot better hunting, but we don't have access to hunting places.
No.
What we have is side of the lake.
Government land.
They're big land. They're big mountains.
Hey, look at the bright side of this, though. When Kyle does come back home to hunt with us, he'll be out of shape. We'll be able to stay up with him now. He won't be 500 yards in front of us.
There won't be no me coming back here just to go coon hunting. I might come back to fellowship.
Yeah.
But my coon hunting will be done up there.
Yeah, it's going to spoil you, that's for sure. It'll be a whole different.
Well, I'm glad you got it worked out, though.
Oh, yeah, I'd definitely be spoiled.
I hate to see you go.
But as many nights as I've put in here, it's time to go flat ground.
A pair of boots lasts longer.
That's true.
Yeah, I won't have to go through 2 pair a year.
You better carry 2 lights with you, though. Many trees you got to shine.
Well, I would say I'd use my thermal.
Johnny might want to keep that here.
Oh, speaking of thermals, I have to say mine's a good thermal. It's withstood the test.
What'd you use it for? Would you take it on vacation?
Throw it in the back of the truck. It rained and then it's flooded out. It was under 4 inches of water.
Oh, Lord.
I fell in the creek one night. Me and Hudson was on a Pro Classic, and I fell in the creek with mine and my hand submerged.
But mine said all night in it. I found next morning under 4 inches of water.
Well, my
vest
off,
bag pockets was full of water.
Well, mine's off in a stinging nettle patch in Illinois somewhere.
You lost your thermal?
Yeah.
His thermal?
Your thermal?
Oh,
my thermal.
I was just kidding. I didn't know nothing about this.
Oh, no, it's gone.
You don't have your thermal, the brand new one?
No, my razor pack, I had my pouch busted when I was going off Rip's tree.
Can you track it?
I did not know that.
I went back with metal detectors, everything. So I'm hoping whenever it comes wintertime, I know my tracks. I got my tracks, and we cannot find them. I'm hoping, but the underbrush up in Illinois is terrible. I mean, you've got from your waist down.
You got to get me a weed eater from mow it down to the ground.
From your waist down, I thought about doing that, but I thought when I weighted it down, though, it's going to, all that brush is going to lay back on top of the ground. So I'm hoping is whenever it comes wintertime, all that underbrush is gone.
What if you took another thermal on these hot days and walked up through there?
I wouldn't pick it up then.
The heat of the metal.
They sent me a picture the other day of the creeks and the rivers and stuff. It's probably 10 miles from where it dropped it at.
It ain't in the creek.
No, I'm talking about, could you take another thermal and walk at night, right, dark, and walk the track with another thermal, would the metal pick it up off another thermal?
I don't know if it would or not. I went through the metal detector because it's got aluminum housing. Mm. I couldn't pick it up.
Well, I didn't mean to open that can of worms up. About that one.
So I got to buy a new thermal.
Yeah, but you got a good job. You can do it now.
It's a $2,000 hit in the lid.
No, I know. That's the part. I was wondering why Johnny looked at me when I said thermal.
Yeah, that's why. I thought he told you.
I talked to Johnny every day of my life, and he hadn't mentioned that to me.
I don't know what to do now. I got to start learning how to blow a squaller again.
Now you got to buy one thermal and a half.
Well, Dude, that's not a problem now because our squalors we use, a kid can blow them.
Oh, yeah.
Don't want to plug in there for little T squalors.
That's right. it's a proven fact.
I just told Dan the other night to quit blowing his. That coon was coming down. I said, unless you want to squall out and he kills it. I said, I quit blowing that thing. He just happy as can be, just blowing that thing down. I'm like, whoa. He said, what? I said, it's head high now.
Well, they do work good. They do.
They'll make them look. I like them. But yeah, so I ain't got no thermal now. I got to buy one.
And a half.
Johnny said a half.
I am not spending $3,000 just to have one thermal.
Well, Johnny did.
No, he didn't.
Didn't he have
$2,500? Yeah.
So I don't know where he spent $2,500 at, because I'm finding all the ones for like $19.99.
For $200 taxes on top of that.
Yep.
That's 22.
I wonder if
you pay for it all in one lick.
I wonder if
you farm. Told me
I won't figure the thermal on the farm.
For what?
Checking the horses and cows and stuff out with tax free.
Oh yeah.
Hey. Turn it in on agriculture card.
It'd be good to keep.
I'm gonna start a GoFundMe account so I can get a new thermal.
I use mine all the time. I'm behind in the backyard.
Love it.
Jason, the cows start squalling. I look at them all the time with it.
Hey, we had an idea. We was having a conversation the other night at shooting fireworks. We was watching that, and we were talking about thermals. Could you use that? Would that? Because nobody had them before. What about using one of those to roost turkeys through turkey season?
It'll pick them up. It don't pick them up as good as a coon, though, because them feathers for some reason. But I do pick up turkeys with a thermal.
You get out there and you roost a bird, and get him to gobble, know where he's kind of in the ballpark. You can pick which tree is in, know where to go set up.
With the sidewinder, where it was so clear, I could just see the turkey, the body of the turkey.
Can I hook it to my gun?
Yeah. You can buy your rattler.
Oh, my Lord.
You can, but you ain't supposed to do that, so that's not going to work.
I wouldn't do that.
We'll turn you in.
I wouldn't do that.
Well, I'm sorry, boys. I had no idea about that one.
Oh, it hurt. Still hurts because I had to shine his trees rest, and what made it even worse is then I was out there looking for it at night and he was 0.99. The coons were not moving at all up there. I mean, it was nothing. Yeah, and he was 0.99 and still trucking.
So he's lost a thermal. So I found his tracking system in that creek that one night.
Oh, and this ain't the whole story though. I lost my phone the night before.
Tracking system run off on a dog one night.
I lost my phone the night before I lost the thermal.
You didn't find it either?
Yeah, I found it.
You did find it. Okay.
With the thermal.
Well.
Oh, you lost them both the night before?
No.
Oh, you found it with
the
thermal.
And then the thermal, during the daytime, found my phone.
Well, you.
Then I lost the thermal that night.
I trout fish all the time, used to. And they make these big metal clips, Walmart sells them, that will stand out like 3 foot, like a spring. It rolls itself up, start hooking to it. If you drop it, it'll pull it up. You'll know it.
Well, I keep it in my razor pack, but I don't know how it did, but that nylon, something, I went through something. Maybe I crossed the fence and didn't realize it was a big sawbrawler. But it ripped it right open, and it was gone.
How many days do you wait before you tell Johnny?
I told him the next evening, because I went back that morning and looked, hoping to God I'd find it.
You want to take mine back up with you and try it? Do you find it?
Are you going to let him?
I would.
Are you willing to...
He'll buy me another.
He already got to buy one.
He doesn't got to buy one and a half now.
I'm going to go $5,000 deep. And I ain't going to have nothing.
You need to be hitting some pretty high-end hunts cash in on some of them.
We'll make some money for the next week. Win. Don't worry.
If not, I'm brilliant.
We'll make some money this next couple weeks. Don't worry.
Thanks.
Well, I didn't think we had no good stories this week. That's a pretty good story in itself.
And the trip before that, I got that bug in my ear. That about killed me.
I didn't know about a bug in your
ear. I thought I was dying. It was me and Brian. Was it English Days? And we was up there pleasure hunting with Dan. And we're just sitting there listening to the dogs. Next thing I hear is a B-52 bomber coming in my ear. And it got in my ear canal and was in there, like, fluttering its wings. You want to talk about, like, nails on the chalkboard bad.
So
I could feel it in my brain.
Years,
just, like, fluttering its
years
wings.
Years ago, Dad and Pa hunted together all the time. And they was down at Welch Holler hunting, and Dad got one in his ear, and Pa found an old beer bottle. Had some beer in it.
Yeah.
It was a liquor bottle.
Liquor bottle. And dumped it in there and got it out.
Yeah, that's not
the
only
way to kill it. That was awful. He said never had no pain like it for his life. in the eardrum.
It was terrible. I mean, it didn't get all but the eardrum, but it was so, I don't know how to explain it. It was the worst experience I've had as far as just, it felt like it was in your brain.
I got stung by jellyfish last week. That count?
How'd you hear that? We all know.
We all know. It worked, though.
He did it.
He found a random guy on the beach.
Whatever.
I need some help over here, buddy.
Pee on my leg.
Help me.
What's next? Well, we're about done. We're not going to get into no detail on this, but we've been doing a lot of research on dog food, right? So let's talk about that for 1 second, because the one thing that I can't figure out that's blowing my mind.
And when he means research, Jason was in the kitchen with a scale.
Oh, I can tell you.
Put grains of dog food on a little bit.
I can tell you how much a measuring cup of dog chow, diamond sports mix, crop plan. I've got them down. I know how many grams are in a bag of dog food, but I know how much each different brand of dog food weighs
He's in there cutting kernels with a microscope.
But here was the thing that I can't get my head around. So we're always looking for a good dog food to use, and I'm comparing some of these out, these higher end dog foods, because you all know that I've had a harder time committing to some of this high dollar stuff that you boys keep trying to push me on. But just going down to the cheapest thing you can get a hold of, dog chow, when you do the math and the way that has to work, it would have to feed the way they say it feeds on the bags. But if some of these higher end dog feeds feed out and the dogs do what they're supposed to on them, you're coming out to the same money, because I've got dog chow down to, it costs like 52 cents a day to feed a dog 3 cups of dog chow. And I'm going to recheck my math on it, but that's the part that's blowing my mind, that these good dog foods, if they will feed, I'll say that, if they'll feed the way that the bag says to feed, you get it down to the price that it's costing to feed that dog. That higher end feed is the same money. If not, it's going to be less than some of the stuff we're feeding right now.
Yeah, and it's got like you said, some research, and a lot of them, the higher end has got better ingredients too for your dog's health as well. Mm-hmm. Whenever you're pushing them on the road and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I'm doing a test right now on one dog. I've got one of the higher brand dog foods. It's supposed to be one of the top feeds, and I took before pictures of the dog, and I'm feeding him exactly what they said from the company to feed him. I'm going to feed him a whole bag of that one, and right now he looks better than he did when I started on. He's definitely doing well, and I'm feeding him 3 cups, so he's getting 1 scoop a day off of it. And if that all works out, it's going to come out as cheap as feeding him dog chow. That part's I can get my head around it. I'm having a hard time with it.
And I mean, it's harder when you think about it. It
took you about a year to convince you of that.
Well, it hurts when you go to the register. When you go to the register,
it's all stupid though. There ain't no dog food should be costing what this stuff costs in the first place.
Yeah,
it is high.
But that we're going to do a lot more in depth research on this one. I won't even bore you with that on the conversation. But I will say that it's been surprising. You boys got anything else we want to talk about tonight?
Well, I can't do that. I feed my dog too much.
Well, you can't Stacey do nothing when you got a when
you're dumping feeders.
Stacey went on vacation last week and he brought his dog out here and he brought me a bag of dog chow. I said, feed him dog chow until I get back. I didn't have time to go to the store. I walked out there and he had 5 gallons of dog chow. I literally went out there and had to. I'm like, boy, I don't have feeders. I feed them every day. He had dog food scattered all over the kennel floor. He had so much piled up in it.
You need to finish that story up, though. Why did I have such a big bag of feed there? Ed, my little girl, fed the feet dog for me.
Well,
she got the dog feed and fed him while I was watering him.
Well, she's making sure he was good and fed.
Yes.
Well, if my little girl had done that, I'd have poured it back in the bag because it
I pour in a 20-gallon bag at a time of my dog food.
Good Lord.
I keep a feeder out. My dog keeps a feeder out 24/7. He don't eat a whole lot. A bag of a feeder lasts me several weeks. He nibbles on it.
You can't put a 20-pound bag of dog food in a bowl.
I didn't feed him. Ed, me fed him. That's why my dogs are pretty and fat.
I don't know if I'd say pretty, but they are fat.
That's right. They're in shape like me. They're round.
They waddle.
She ain't got some woman come out here and telling you what you're doing animal cruelty to your dog, and hers is bigger than the Polish sausage walking around.
Well, at least my dogs ain't skinny bones. I keep them in good shape. I won't get in trouble for it.
That is true.
I agree with that.
They ain't skinny bones, but they might have diabetes.
They probably do.
My dog's got diabetes.
But no, that
dog food. He takes insulin.
dog food has a lot to do, and we've been talking to people about reproductive health as well as just healthy looks.
Yeah, this is kind of the theory I've been thinking of too, and it may have nothing to do with it, but maybe it has a lot, some of the stuff to do with thyroid problems. Dog food you feed,
it can. I think it can
change your thyroid levels.
I think it can too.
So here's my thing too. If there's any other good dog food manufacturers that wants me to run a test on their dog food, send me free bags of dog food and I will weigh it out, measure it, put it on a 30-day trial.
Jason's got his lab in the kitchen.
I will. My lab in the kitchen is Jessica's bread scale.
Yep, we need.
She's got into making that sourdough bread.
You better get you another set of scales.
Hey, them things are accurate. I mean, I can get that thing down to
a kernel.
Yeah, well, they weigh stuff other than dog food with them.
They're precise. I can tear it and everything. So we'll continue that offline. That'll be what we work on, but I'll have you boys some data to look at.
We spent an hour last night talking about it.
I had to go get some paper right now when you was doing so many calculations.
Yeah, we done quite a bit of it last night on the online. Of course, I know he's done more than that. He gets a little more in depth than what I do, but
yeah, when he goes past 5 decimal points, I'm out.
I'm telling you, I can tell you exactly how many
2.3456 grams
of weight is in every one of them different brands right now. I've been tearing them out, weighing them just because we've been buying different feed and checking them.
Eat your dog food.
They weigh different.
Each kernel weighs different.
So yeah, a cup of food don't necessarily mean the same from one brand to the other.
That's a lot of things I guarantee a lot of people don't think about. Everybody thinks a cup's a cup.
And Jason, when we first started this out, we thought about an 8-ounce cup, like you do an 8-ounce cup of milk. And that's totally wrong. It's not 8 ounces. It's how you weigh it out in grams.
Yeah, it's the same cup, but they all weigh different. I mean, dog chow weighs a lot different. A cup of dog chow don't weigh the same as a cup of Diamond or a cup of Sports Mix or a cup of Purina. They're different weights. Same scoop, but you put them on scale, they weigh different.
I never thought about that.
By a significant amount of grams.
So when it talks
about, it's the way the pellets are compressed.
Kcals per cup. You're going to get more.
Well, the overall weight of that bag is the same. 50 pounds is 50 pounds.
Yeah.
And you got your grams and the pounds for that. But when you put that scoop out of there, you're going to get different number of scoops out of them different feeds. It's just like on my livestock feed. A scoop of sweet feed or some type of grain feed for a horse don't weigh the same as a scoop of corn.
Yeah.
Because the density of how they pelletize.
Yeah, because we feed the high dollar feed our show horses a lot less feed than what we feed with regular feed.
I will say, well, when you get into the better known brands, different brands, they weigh pretty consistent. Their extrusion processes on those pellets are real similar. You're talking just a couple grams difference in a cup weight, but you get into the cheaper feeds and different ones, the way their pellets are made. I can kind of look at the way, I can open the bag and look at the pellets and kind of tell you with the way they're extruded if it's going to be heavier or lighter. But any of these small kibbles and stuff, they're condensed, they're compressed a lot more. And they weigh a lot more. Like difference of 300 and something grams of weight in a 3-cup scoop versus 415 or 20. So they sway quite a bit.
Think about that.
But we'll get into a whole lot of math on that one.
Yeah, it's getting deep.
Yeah, I said we've talked about it quite a bit. I've been trying to persuade him for about a year now. I can't believe it. But now it's finally coming.
I still can't believe it. There's no dog food worth $100 a bag. In reality, I mean that's crazy.
That is crazy.
I mean, these same dog foods, me and Johnny's looked at it. We were distributors and sellers of a very high end brand of dog food. Today, we sold it for 15 years, and I found price sheets on my computer where we was selling it one-third of what a bag of it costs today.
Yeah, $20 a bag or less.
$23
a bag back then.
We sold Joy High Energy back at one time for $19 a bag.
Well, what's it to now? 55?
55, 60, I don't know.
53, 54.
I used to sell Joy Maintenance we sold it for $12 a bag. That's not been that many years ago.
No. So you was making a little money off that.
A little bit.
At $12 a bag.
At $12 a bag, we made a little bit.
Yeah, well, we got it straight off the truck and put it straight on our truck and brought it up here. There was no two or three middlemen in the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they was at one time, we was going back looking at trying to get back into refeeding it at one point when it first started getting super popular again. And I was talking to one of the reps, and somebody was talking about some of the bags, and the rep didn't even recognize some. I was like, that's your bags, buddy. They've been your bags for years. And he went back and he said, you're right. I said, I know I'm right. I've seen this stuff since I was a 5 year old kid. We got pictures of it. So, yeah, it's enough to get you confused. I have to get in the room by myself and do some math on this stuff.
It is crazy how the prices increase, though.
It's insane.
I mean, that's the one thing a lot of people don't think about. I mean, yeah, inflation and stuff, but dog food prices have went far above the inflation percentage.
You know, and that's kind of falling on dog food. You know, that's kind of a reason when you're talking about hunting dogs somebody. People can't afford $800-$900 on a month. And now that's high, but you buying feed, that's high.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you think about it. If you hunt a dog 25 nights a week,
yeah,
that's like fuel, for me,
$30.
Yeah,
you put $750,
and you put fuel up behind it, but this dog feed is expensive to do it right.
I mean, if you look at it, I hunt a lot of dogs for the public too.
Used to.
He still does. He just not yours.
Stacy don't want to pay. Stacy, but if you come out to it from, I'm not cheap, but I mean, I know I'm worth my time, and it comes out to like if you hunt them like I hunt them, you know, 4 or 5 hours a night, hard nights. You're going to like $8-$9 an hour.
Yeah.
You're making not counting your gas. You're
not making no money.
You're really not making nothing.
No. And then did anybody feed on top of that? It's high. Hey, it costs a lot.
The hound sport is not for
The faint of heart.
No. If you got a low budget, just go to tennis or something.
You ain't gonna make no money at it.
No, even if you're gonna spend a lot of money. Have a good time doing it, though.
It's fun. It's fun.
Yeah, you.
It is fun. I do have a lot of fun.
Win $10,000, spend $25,000.
We've been doing this for what, 30 years now. It's fun.
That's who we are.
We got anything else? We're gonna call it quits.
you got any gun smoke?
I don't. I've been gone. I didn't have no gun smoke.
You had no gun smoke.
He's having gun smoke withdrawals.
Yeah,
he's struggling. Yeah.
I thought he's over shaking. That's what it is.
Don't have none.
Mm.
Wasn't able to watch any this past week.
Andy Griffith was it. In cartoons.
All right, if we don't got anything else, tell everybody good night. We're done.
Wrap it up.